Let's take our Bible, if you would, turn to Matthew. We're going to look at this year's verse and theme for our church. Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. I trust the Lord will speak to our hearts this morning. Wednesday night we didn't preach on 1 John. We're going through the book of 1 John on Wednesday night, but Wednesday night we didn't. But we preached on I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Amen. He's the Almighty. And as that song said, if the dust is just, I mean, if it's the clouds or the dust of his feet, then we realize we serve a mighty God. But I tell you, he's more mightier than that. If you think about the universe, amen, this vast universe that we look in this Milky Way universe that you and I live in, and then there's many universes more like, and that's how he made all that. Amen. All those stars, it's many light years away. I'm telling you, he made it all. And that's our great God. And he can handle our problems. Amen. And it shouldn't be no problems for you and I to make him first. Christ first is the theme this year. And I want to preach on Matthew chapter number 6. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 31. And as you look at this chapter, as Matthew is declaring him king and glory, showing him as being the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, deity. As we look at chapter number 6, Matthew chapter number 6, you'll find that Jesus relates or deals with the principle of a relationship with him. In verses 1 through 18, he deals with our relationship with God in worship, how we're to worship him. There shouldn't be no problem in you and I, as his creatures, as his creation, to worship him. He's worthy of our worship this morning. And I've already told you, we are about 40 years behind in worship. If we get caught up in our worship, then we might get caught up with our work. We will never work for him until we worship him. There's no doubt. We'll never work for him until you worship him. Until you fall in love with him and in awe with him and you worship him as Christ first in your life, you'll never labor for him like you should. And then in verses 19, Matthew 6, verses 19 through 34, you'll see that he deals with the relationship of the material things. Now, the church has always been striving and always been prosperous in persecution. But it's in prosperity time is when the church falters. And you and I know that we're living in prosperity. As Miss Sister Ware was telling me this morning, she said she really liked them seats that heats up, amen, and them cars. I mean, but she said, I believe they need to get one that makes the steering wheel heats up. She said she had cold hands, amen. And how that is true, is it not? I mean, we have a lot of luxuries today. Probably most of you didn't get up to a cold house and you had to go start a fire or anything. I mean, you just went and looked at the thing on the wall. Amen. Most of you didn't have to cut. Well, there's a few people still using firewood. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not putting you down at all. Amen. First of all, it's good exercise. It'd be good. We all cut about a year's worth of wood. Amen. It would be. It'd help us live a little bit longer, probably. Somebody say amen, especially how much y'all ate during Christmas. Let's confess our sins right now and get right with God. Amen. Gluttony. But anyway, all that, I told Brother Jeff, I said, Thanksgiving's not too bad because, you know, Thanksgiving, you just bring all that food in, you eat, and you kind of just go. Christmas, they bring it in, and it's all those sweets, and they stay around for the whole week. Amen. Aaron was home for the whole week. That was enough of that. But no, I'm just joking. Amen. I'm just kidding about that. But anyway, but seriously, all that desserts and all that stuff they brought together, I mean, and it just hangs there. And you know what God's taught us? Not to be wasteful. So we have to eat it. Amen. One excuse is as good as another. Somebody say amen. But we see our relationship with the material things, the things that we have, the things that God's allowed us to have. And then if we went into Matthew chapter number 7, he deals with the things, our relationship to other people. And but we want to look at verses number 31 through 34. And the Bible says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Now, you've got to, I'm not trying to be funny, but it is funny. You've got to admit, when we get up from breakfast, we say, what's for lunch? Amen. We get up from lunch and say, hey, what are we going to have for supper? I mean, it's just our society. I remember when we took young people to Mexico years ago. I guess it was about 06, 05. It was about 02. We hadn't been here long. And I remember Daniel went with us. And Daniel's one that mentioned this to me. We had, for supper, we had a soup-like thing. And it had something in it like potato and had other green stuff in it and different things. I couldn't make out what any of it was. What I thought was a potato was, ended up being a cactus, I think. But it was. And so anyway, it was kind of hard. I thought it was a potato, but got to eating it, and it didn't take like potato. But anyway, it was good. The soup was really good, and we ate it for supper. Well, we got up the next morning, and we got ready to go to, we was putting three Sunday school rooms, laying block. Brother Charlie Chadwick was teaching us how to lay block. And so we was going to get up the next morning, and we got up and got ready, and they served us breakfast. Guess what it was? That soup. And Brother Daniel looked at me and said, "Preacher," said, "we had this for supper." I said, "If y'all don't eat it for breakfast, we'll have it for lunch." Amen. And so we ate. You know, really in our culture, we have breakfast food and lunch and stuff. But hey, they just eat what they got. We've been so blessed. Amen. And so they just eat what they got. He said, "Take no thought." He said, What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Help us now, God, to be that we need to be. Help us to preach, anoint us, forgive us of our sins. Help us, Father, to be more faithful in 2018 to serve you and live for you and be that light and example that we need to be. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Excuse me. We realize Jesus is warning. If you begin to look at chapter number 6, he is warning us of the danger of being hypocrisy or being a hypocrite. You know, it's a sad thing, but I believe we've got a lot of people in religion today that is hypocrites. I'll let y'all soak on that while I take another drink. A hypocrite is not a person that falls short of a high ideals or is occasionally sins, because we all do those things. A hypocrite is somebody that uses religion as a cover-up of their sins, as a cover-up of their unbelief. Matter of fact, one person identified the Greek word translated hypocrite, originally meaning, it means this, an actor who wears a mask. And I trust this morning that we don't have actors wearing a mask. He deals in chapter number 6, and I'm just trying to get to my text. He deals with it three times. Look at verse number 2 of chapter number 6. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before them. He's talking about giving an offering. He said, excuse me. Do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Go to verse number 5. He says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto thee, you have your reward. They have their reward. Then we also look at verse number 16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You realize that the hypocrite is using what? He's using religion to cover up his sin. What about that? Well, I hope we don't do that. But when we come to verses 31 through 34, we see that he deals not with hypocrites, but he deals with our testimony. It deals with our testimony. And we should have a testimony of simply this, that we are what? Trusting God. It's simply just like that. He's given us a testimony that we are to trust God. Verse number 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall I eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these sayings to the Gentiles, when he's talking about the Gentiles, he's really talking about the heathens. Okay? I mean, he's speaking here, what is the book of Matthew? It's a Jewish book. He's writing to the Jews, and he's speaking to, and he said, as the Gentiles, as the heathens do, as those that knows not God. Now, wouldn't it be sad if we had a testimony as Christians, if we had a testimony that we didn't know God? We had a testimony. Really, what he's saying is a testimony that they all are trusted in God. The God that's able to feed the sparrow. The God that's able to make this universe. The God that's able to do all things. And yet you and I do not trust him enough to believe in him that he can take care of you, little old me. Amen? And so we lose our testimony. To worry about the material things of life, to worry about the things that we have, we would be living as the heathens live. And so when we come to it, there's three words here that gives us a clarity and will help us to succeed in this thing of living for the Lord. Notice what it says in verse number 30. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not so much more clothe you? Notice this statement. O ye of what? Little faith. So if I'm going to put Christ first in my life, the very first thing I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have faith. I'm going to have faith in God to be able to put Christ first in my life. And be honest with you, that's where the problem is that you and I have. We have a problem with this thing called faith. Now, if it was in the Old Testament, it would be trust. Trust in the Lord. We have a problem with this, putting our faith in God for our monetary means, for our things that we need here upon this earth, for the temporal things that God allows us to have. We just have a problem with it. Matter of fact, most of us is not trusting God to meet our need. Most of us is trusting in our job, that we might financially have money to be able to meet our needs. Now, God gave us a real test, and God, when we, it was a few years ago when the economy went and some of our jobs went, we wondered, what are we going to do? Well, I'm telling you what we're going to do. We're going to depend on the same God we've been depending on the whole time. Amen. Amen. We're going to depend upon that. Our lives should be a life of faith. The Bible tells us without faith it's impossible to please God. So if we don't have faith, then we're not even pleasing God. Now, if we're not pleasing God, God cannot what? He cannot bless us. And this is elementary preaching. And the sermon is really elementary. Amen. It is simply that we need to put Christ first in our life. And the only way we can do that is because we have faith in our faith. Then secondly, notice another word. Look at verse number 32. For after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So when you and I worry, when you and I tie ourselves up with fret and of the material things that we have down here. Now I'm going to tell you what, this is a whole lot easier preaching than it is living. Amen. But when we allow these things down here to stress us out, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we put on, clothes we put on, when we think about those things more than we think about Christ, we are doubting that our God knows what we need. So the second thing, the first is faith, the second one is Father. So the Father knows what the kids need. The Father knows what the children need. Do you know that God knows exactly what you need? Matter of fact, God knows more what you need than you do. So our problem is we think we know what we need. We need a new car. We need a new house. We need a new job. We think what we need. We need more money, or we need more this or more that. But only God knows exactly what we need. And we need to depend upon him to meet our needs. Y'all know Brother David Howell, he teaches in Pensacola in the Christian school. Every once in a while he does a post on media social, and that's always usually funny. But he said, but he put a little post on there, and it said, fill out this application for to help God meet your need. Application read, for employment. Application for employment. God does expect us to work. He does expect us to be wise. He does expect us to make sure that we do our part. I understand that. And we can't be foolish with how we spend our money. We can't be foolish with what we do with what we've got, what God gives us. I understand that. But we cannot also, on the other side, we've got to realize that God knows what we need. And God knows what we need to go through. And God knows what we need to face. As again, it's dealing with faith and trust in God. And then in my text, where I want to be, verse number 33. Putting God first in our lives. If we are going to be what God wants us to be, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And so I want to preach on that thought. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Some things that you and I can do in 2018 to put Christ first, to seek the kingdom of God. And these are very elementary. I mean, very elementary. I'll give them to you very fast. You've heard them many times. But you know, we're living in a society. It's amazing about our society and how we live in. We are living in a society that people are so self-centered today. It's so hard to put Christ first because of our self-centeredness. Amen? You know, the Bible teaches us about Paul. He said, in the last days, purest times have come. For men should be lovers of their own self. And that's where you're now at. It says it's impossible to be a useful Christian and be in love with yourself. It's impossible. So we have to be willing to bear our cross. We have to be willing to humble ourselves. What did John say? He said, I must decrease and he must increase. And oh, that's hard in America today. It's I must increase and then I'll help the Lord to increase. That's today. It's all about us. We're in a self-centered society. Our advertisement about you deserve this car. You deserve this house. Everything is about, I want to tell you what, you and I this is so much against 2000. This is, Smiley ain't going to say this, but we don't deserve anything. If the only thing you and I deserve is to be in hell, from there, back, that's it. Everything else is God's gave us. You say, oh, no, I'm doing this. No, God gave you life or you wouldn't even be here. God gave you breath. God gave you strength to live this day or you wouldn't even be here today. Do you understand that? You're living today because God is allowing you to live. You've not done anything to live. You didn't put yourself here. You didn't make. God's done everything. Matter of fact, God's designed your life. He's allowed you to have the personality you have. He's allowed you to have the skills of work level you have. Amen. He's done it all for you. We probably just should stop right here and just go and fall prostrate on the altar and just thank God, hey, that we're just here alive. And then that we've had the wonderful, wonderful privilege to be saved by the marvelous grace of God. That we would be able to hear the gospel. We could have been born in some third world country and never hear the gospel. Or if we did, just hear it one time maybe. But you and I have heard it time and time again. And many of you, it took several times before you ever got saved. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, it should humble us this morning. And we should want to seek God and put Christ first in our life just because of where we're at today. Amen. Because it's blessed. First of all, to seek Christ, we ought to seek him in salvation. If that's the first thing, you need to be saved. This morning I feel like I'm preaching to probably mostly saved people. There could be somebody here lost this morning. I don't even have to share the gospel. You've heard it shared many times. But I do want to remind you that Jesus loved you so much that he gave his life on Calvary that you can be saved by the marvelous grace of God. And if you reject, if you're not saved this morning, you are rejecting God. You're a God hater. You're a God hater. You're a God denier. And one day you'll go to hell. That's just as simple. Oh, Bert, that's way too straight. No, that is truth. That is reality. I mean, we've got too many people trying to raise our young people in a fantasy world. They play fantasy games. They live in a fantasy idea. I'm telling you, this is a real truth. It is appointed to man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You're going to face God one day, and you're going to face death one day. I was reading an article that I came across, and his name's Steve Jobe, right? And he was the one that done out. I'm looking at a... he's one that had the brought up Apple, and I mean, he's a very rich man. He's on his deathbed, and he wrote something, and it's profound what he wrote. He said this, he said, I can hire people to drive my cars. I can hire people to run businesses, and I can hire people to make money. But he said, I cannot hire nobody to lay in this bed and suffer this sickness. Suffer this death, imminent death, he's called it. And he did die. And he said this is the end of it. He said, love your family. Love your family. Be kind to your friends and your neighbors. Those around you. What about that? I'm talking about, he said, my wealth profits me nothing. And all of us are going to get to that place one day. I've yet to be seen. I'm looking for it. It's going to happen somewhere. Somebody will pay somebody to do it. It won't matter. Put a U-Haul behind the hearse. But I'm telling you what, it won't matter. We think that we're going to take everything with us. But I tell you what, if you don't watch it, you're just going to leave it for your kids to fight over. So make sure you know Jesus. Here's my message. If we're going to be a successful Christian, if we're going to put Christ first, the very first thing, you need to study your Bible. You can't put Christ first in your life if you're not, if you have to become spiritual to do it. And you cannot become spiritual without this word. You can't do it. You say, preacher, I have all kinds of trouble with sin. Hide the word of God in your heart that you might not what? Sin against God. I have so much problem being weak in the faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Amen. I'm telling you, you cannot live a spiritual life and be neglect this word. You can't do it. And we're trying to have a church, and we're trying to have people, we're trying to come here and worship, and I'm not trying to be mean, I'm not trying to be cruel, but you haven't even read the Bible all week. You haven't read anything. There's no spiritual block to build upon. I mean, this is a foundational truth. I mean, this word of God has got to be a part of your life if you're going to do. I mean, I'm trying to get you to see this morning. I beg you this morning. This Bible will change your life. It will change your life. You can be saved, but the Bible says talking about being saved. You desire the sin-sealed milk of the word. You wouldn't dare let one of your little babies go all day long and not eat milk, not drink milk, would you now? You wouldn't do that. You'd be considered, an awful, terrible parent. You wouldn't let them go all week long and not eat. You need to set aside some time. People recommend 15 minutes. Most of you say, I can't do that. I ain't got 15 minutes in a day. You got 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week, just like everybody in this building does. You say, I want to be a spiritual so-and-so. Well, I wonder what so-and-so does. First of all, so-and-so may not be as spiritual as you think they are, but anyway. Amen. But you're going to have some time studying God's word. You're going to have some time in his word. Now, I'm not talking about reading your Bible through. I'm talking about studying his word. Study to show thyself approved. Work, but need not be ashamed. Rightly divide the word of truth. Take John. Take one of the epistles. Take a book and read that book. Let that book speak to you. Study. Do some word study. Just pick out a word in that book and begin to study that word. Find out where it was first mentioned in the word of God. Find out what it meant there. You'll find it carries that all the way through the word of God. Pretty much it carries that word all the way through. I mean, dude, get the word of God. Get something that you're eating. You say, preacher, I come for you to feed me. Wonderful. That's wonderful. But you need to eat some on your own. You need to eat some. I feel like you're thinking I'm mad at you, but I'm not mad at you. All right, let me ask you. I've never been a doctor. I know we got Adam here, and he does the flies on that thing to help people. I can't imagine, Adam, a doctor walking into an office and telling that person what they need to do that will help their health. And then seeing them in 3 weeks later or a month later and seeing that they've done nothing. Come on, we're guilty. Somebody say amen. I'm terrible at it. I had a problem with my knee several years ago. I think it's before I came here. I had a problem with my knee. It really got to bother me bad and hurt. So I went to the doctor and they gave me therapy for it. And so I went to this person and they taught me therapy for it. And they gave me this piece of paper and they're supposed to do these things. I don't like therapy. And sometimes I don't know if therapy works, but anyway. But I did therapy. Now, to God be the glory, my leg finally got better. I think it was inflammation or something. But I'm just saying, I'm terrible at this thing. I'm terrible at the doctor giving me directions and giving me instructions and not following them. And don't start testifying. We'll be here to midnight because y'all are terrible too. Amen. Can you imagine why that doctor feels when they come back in there and they got the same problem and all the same thing? And he's told them what to do and they didn't do it. Well, what about God? What do you think God thinks when he's told us what we need to do time and time again in this Bible? He teaches us. He shows us. The preacher gets up and preaches, shoots in the same rabbit hole every day, every weekend. And guess what? We still don't do it. You need in 2018, if you want to change the face of Philadelphia Baptist Church, if you want to change the future of your family and the future of Philadelphia Baptist Church, if you want to change your life, read that word. It's life-changing. Read it. Study the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Then secondly, supplication. If you want to get close, you want to put Christ first, you're going to have to talk to him. So this Word, he talks to us. Don't be looking for no visions. Don't be trying to hear no heavenly voices. I can't even get a laugh out of it. You can tell when you're preaching something people don't want to hear. But you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to take some time and talk to God. I know we're living in the most busiest time. Satan has so made us so busy, we don't have time for God. The problem is we don't have time without we have God. Amen. I mean, what we do for God, if we will spend time with God, he would make our time even better. Because he's going to make our life better. And so this supplication. I'm not the model. I'm not the model. But you need to talk to God. Do you fellowship with God? Do you pray on a regular basis? I'm not talking about just praying for your food. Lord, bless this food. I'm talking about, do you talk to God? I like saying it like this because I believe you ought to. But I know this is hard for you. Do you have a time that you pray with God? Maybe you need to start out with this. Maybe you need to say, I'm going to set a time to pray 2 minutes. You say, preacher, 2 minutes. Well, 2 minutes is better than no minutes. Amen. And then I'll challenge you this. You are praying and talking to God. Look how much time you are spending in prayer. Man, you bow down and you start praying. Oh, man. You get done praying, you think at least 45 minutes. Look up and it's been 10 minutes. Amen. You say, man, I've at least prayed at least 30, 35 minutes. And you look up, it's been 10 minutes. You know I'm serious. Yeah. Amen. Make you out a prayer list. Get you a prayer list. This is true, but Stint Blue says it, but it's true. Without a prayer list, you'll never have a prayer life. We're good at remembering. We can't remember it all. Yeah. Amen. Need a supplication. Then also, you know what you need to do? If you're going to put Christ first, you need to share the gospel. I don't have time to preach these. I'm just going to give them to you. She's coming. I don't have time to give it to you. Share the gospel. They're going to come to sing a song in just a second. I just feel like the Lord wants me to give you these. Share the gospel. I wonder, do you share the gospel? Do you have tracts in your pocketbook? Do you have tracts on your possession? Is there any time that you have that you say, you know, I'd just like to mention something to you. You working with somebody, saying, hey, boy, we had a great service Sunday. Do you go to church anywhere? How's your spiritual life? Are you saved? If you die today, would you go to heaven? Have you witnessed anybody in 2017 at all? How are we going to put Christ? If we're putting Christ first, we'll be witnessing. He'll be the center of our life. And then this, you really need to get this. You need to shun those that are evil. Shun evil things. I should put it like this. Shun evil things. Avoid bad people. Avoid bad places. Avoid bad books. Try to keep bad thoughts out. Watch where you go on the internet. Amen. Then let's just stay faithful to church. If you put Christ first, stay faithful to church. Stay faithful. You're not going to have Christ first and not love His church. The Bible says that Christ gave His life. He loved the church and He gave His life for the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, He said He loved. He gave His life for the church. This church is His heart. He said, well, that's the born-again believers, I know. But in the Bible, I think there's 117 times church is mentioned, and almost every time it's mentioned, except for about three or four times, it's mentioned about a local assembly. Amen. He's talking about His church joining together. Amen. I taught that this morning on church being an organism and an organization. It's the body of Christ. It's His bride. It's His building. And then, lastly, support the work of God. Where your heart is. Now I'm not trying to get sports crazed here. And I'm glad we can have fun about Georgia and Alabama. I love having fun with it. And I'll be honest with you, it don't matter who wins. They're both SEC teams. I like them both. Yeah. I pull for Georgia all the time. I'm an Alabama fan. But let me tell you this. You and I in the house of God this morning, I mean, they are forking out some money. I even told Deborah, I said, I think I'll pay $800 for a ticket. She said, I don't think you will. So I'm not going. I've been offered tickets for $900. Because I'm on some ticket things and stuff. Where your heart is, your pocketbook will be there. Amen. Now, if y'all going, I ain't against you. If you paid $1,500 against it, I'm not against you. It's going to be a game. I understand that. I mean, it's going to be. The president's supposed to be there. I mean, it's going to be a game. It's going to be a historical, no doubt, game. No matter what happens, it's going to be. It'll be something good to enjoy. But people are paying the money. You know why? They love it. They love it. I can take it or leave it. Y'all know that. I don't say much about it. I love to support a team, but hey, I'm not giving them hundreds and thousands of dollars to be able to get by tickets like those guys that did get those tickets. Yeah. Amen. And I'm not paying $1,500 for a ticket or $1,000. I tell you, I might pay $800. But that would have been pretty hard. That would have been pretty hard. I don't know if I could have done it. But I thought about it. But I don't think I did. What I'm trying to say is, where your heart is, you love it. Your money will be. Why is it? Because you love it. If you have a problem giving to the church, it's not because you don't love the church, because you don't love the Savior.
Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the day. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this new year you've given us, Lord, and for the opportunity to be in your house. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the message, Lord, that you sent, Lord. And I pray, Father, help us, Lord, apply it to our hearts and our lives. Lord, I pray, God, help us, Lord, to put you first in our lives. Father, you've been so good to us, Lord, and we just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving us, for all your blessings. Father, we pray, God, you'll just continue to watch over us throughout the day. Father, and see us back safely tonight. And I wish we ask your sweet holy name. Amen.